Josh, if you, oh yeah, you got me out. Is that too loud? Or loud enough? Everybody here okay? I know with the fans and stuff, it's a little distracting, and I wear a hearing aid, so you can't go by if I can hear or not. So that's the reason I ask everybody. Okay, if you'll set a timer back there at 1 o'clock, go like this, and I'll sit down. I'm kidding. That's a joke. That kind of helps me get my brain calmed down, because this isn't really my comfort zone. Last week, Travis talked about what it means to surrender to Christ. And one of the most important reasons to surrender is to become a disciple of His and make disciples. Our mission for us as individuals in the church is to make disciples. I didn't put a handout in your church, in your bulletin, but anybody after church that wants a copy of my notes, I will email them to you. For one thing, we print the bulletins on Wednesday, and I'm still making revisions when we're sitting here on the front pew. So I can't do a handout. But that's the reason. If you want them after it's over with, that's fine. We're going to be reading a lot of Bible verses. We're going to be all in the New Testament. And so if you want to kind of get out there, and hopefully I won't go too fast with the different verses that you can't keep up. But like I say, y'all can have a copy of my notes after the service, and you're welcome if you want to keep up. I'm going to start reading, though. One of the first days is Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And this kind of tells us the mission of us as Christians and the missions of the church. Helps if you put these on. And y'all can smile. And if I say something that you think's funny, you can laugh. It ain't going to hurt my feelings, because I'll probably do it intentional. But anyway, that's okay. Let's go ahead and read the word here. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Okay, so He's given us our mission here, preach the gospel and make disciples. But you know something interesting? If we turn over here to Hebrew, chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, they're addressing some folks that weren't able to do this. And I wouldn't want to be in this camp, and I don't think any of us would want to be in this camp. So Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. It says, "For though by this time you are to be teachers, but you need somebody to teach again the basic principles of the oracles of God." It's kind of getting on them. He said, "But now you should be teachers, but you need somebody to teach you the basic stuff. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he's a child." So we're kind of getting on to folks here that saying, "Hey, by this time y'all should be teaching, but we're having to teach you again the basic stuff. You haven't paid attention to make disciples. You've not got where you should be." So when we think of making disciples and being disciples, how do we do this? How do we grow to maturity in the faith, to be called a disciple? How do we grow to be able to make disciples, get to where we can actually make disciples? Well, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 tells us, says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." So it's telling us that we're to grow. We're supposed to grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and grow. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning praising you for who you are. You are so wonderful, God, the creator of the universe. And Lord, when we look around and see your majestic creation and we think about the love, grace, and mercy that you shown on the cross, Lord, for us to be able to come to know you as our personal Savior. But when we repent of our sins and follow you, God, what an amazing blessing that is. The Lord, you've blessed us in so many other ways. You've let us come to a safe place this morning. Lord, we have a nice building and be comfortable. Lord, while so many of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, they have guards on the doors because they could be persecuted or because of their government. But God, we are safe and can do that here. And God, we're thankful for that. And Lord, I just thank you for this morning, for this opportunity. Lord, I pray as I share what you've laid on my heart the past few weeks with this body of believers that is so precious. God, I pray that they'll be your words and not my words. I pray that people's hearts and minds would be open. And God, I know that it has to be all you because I don't have the ability to really speak. I mispronounce words. I don't have very good grammar. And sometimes I think I sound like Jed Clampett. But God, you can take those words and put them in people's hearts. And God, that's what I'm asking you to do today. God, not my words, but your words. Help us to leave here today, God, challenged and encouraged with a new drive, God, to be obedient followers of yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm sorry my eyes leak sometimes. They get to leaking a little bit. So what we're talking about this morning is five pillars to grow as a church and as a Christian and as a church. And you know, there's hundreds of books, and you could really do a study on what we're going to talk about today because it's five things, and we could very easily take a period of five or six classes for each one of these. So I'm not going to try to do 30 hours of instruction in a little bit of time. I'm going to be hitting the highlights, but it's something to think about. And I think as I've thought about this and prayed about it and whatever, we've actually got some little markers over here on this side of the building that talks about this stuff as reminders. So hopefully it's a reminder to all of us, and hopefully it'll encourage us to grow. Number one, Bible study. You know, we need to spend time with God in His Word. If we think about it, the Bible was given to us to teach us, to inspire us, to convict us, and to guide us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 tells us, all Scripture is breathed out of God, out by God, and possible and profitable. Slow down now. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for in training for righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So that tells us, that's what the Word's given to us for. It's to teach us, inspire us, and convict us. And it's also for us to abide. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 tells us, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This speaks for itself. We all know this. We all know that we read the Bible. That helps us. It gives us reproof, and it gives us strength and power. There's power through reading the Bible. Do we actually do it? Do we actually read the Bible regularly? Interesting statistics. I know Jason, he's a numbers man. He likes statistics. I am a numbers man. I like statistics. There's a study about the effects on people when they started reading the Word, reading it daily, reading the Bible every day. And I thought this was very interesting. If you read the Bible once a week, it has no effect. Twice a week, it has no effect. Three times a week, it starts having a little bit of effect, a little bit of difference. But after reading the Bible four times a week, changes start coming. Changes start happening. Four times a week, you're 228% more likely to share your faith with others. You're 407% more likely to memorize Scripture. You're 59% less likely to view porn. You're 30% less likely to have loneliness, depression, or anxiety just by reading the Bible four times a week. I thought that was so interesting, that little change, if you're not reading your Bible every day, how much that would change, besides learning the Word and being obedient, but how much that changes the other stuff, loneliness, depression, or anxiety. But most important, though, we need to remember what James tells us in James 1, verse 22. It says, "But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." So in other words, we need to read the Bible, but we need to do what it says. I mean, we can read it, but if we don't ever do what it says, it's really kind of like reading a newspaper. Number two, prayer. Philippians 4:16 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." We're to take everything to God in prayer. Something else that's interesting, we think, well, I'm not a very good prayer. I don't know what to say. Sometimes when I pray, it's just, I don't, you know, feel like I'm getting anywhere. I don't go nowhere. The Holy Spirit prays for us. Romans 8, verses 26 and 27 says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." So the Holy Spirit prays for us even when we don't know how to pray. Something else, prayer is powerful. We can go in here, and sometime we need to do that, is have a testimony time of all the prayers that we've seen answered in this church. For folks that's not been going here very long, you would be amazed at all the prayers that God's answered from this body of believers. And a lot of prayers that people in a lot of churches would have never even prayed. They'd have thought, well, they ain't no use to pray for that. And we've prayed for it, and God answered. He's changed the weather twice from us praying. No joke. The hand of God. We was getting ready to have a thing at the Covered Bridge. See, that's why I can't make notes. I get off. We was getting ready to have a singing at the Covered Bridge, and it's calling for rain. And we had gone down there and prayed before that on Wednesday night to Saturday when we was going to have the singing, that wouldn't have no rain. We would get down there and have the singing, and honest to goodness, you could look out there. It was pouring everywhere, but it looked like a donut over the Covered Bridge, and it didn't rain there. Now, it rained everywhere else, but right over the sky, you could look at it. The clouds looked like a big donut and nothing in the middle over the Covered Bridge. God's amazing, and prayers work, and there's power of prayer. Matthew 21, verses 21 through 23, and Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." An interesting thing that I read the other day, another statistic, and I don't know where they got this. I think it was from a marriage retreat. But they say if you pray regularly with your spouse, there is less than a 1% chance of you ever getting a divorce. I thought that was a wild statistic. You know, if you pray regularly with your spouse, that helps your marriage, you know. Just a wonderful thing. All right, number three, worship. There are two Greek words in the New Testament that are translated for our our word worship. One of them is proskuneo, and I'm not saying that right. It's proskuneo. Anybody want to take a jab at pronouncing it? Okay. It's used 60 times, and what this word means, it actually means to adore or to give reverence to, and it's a condition of the heart. It's used here in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, it says, "But the hour is coming and is here now when the true worshipers shall worship with the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth." This is the act of adoring or giving reference to. We think of this a lot of times like we had the music, and we're so blessed with the folks that lead us in music and worship here. That first song that y'all sang, there's a video of that song that the Marine Corps is doing. I mean, they've got three or four hundred Marines singing that song, and all of them raising their hands and stuff. If you can watch it without your eyes leaking, it's amazing to watch all those people praising the Lord like that. And that's what it is. And we do that when we come to church here, but we can do it at home. We can do it out, you know, sometimes even out in the woods hunting or something. I can look at the creation and the sun come up and say, "God, you are so amazing." And we can worship Him that we're adoring Him, we're thanking Him, we're giving Him praise for all the things that He's done. And, you know, people do that different. Some people might cry a little bit. Some people wave their hands. All kinds of different things, but it's worship. They're adoring Christ, being thankful for what he's doing in their life. But the second word used for worship is latoneros, and that's not right. LATREUONTES is that word. Anybody know how to pronounce it? Okay. And this appears 26 times, and it's actually translated as service. And it's used in Philippians chapter 3, verses 3. It says, "For we are in a circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and the glory in Jesus in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." So to worship is to adore and give reverence. But it's also to serve. How do we worship? By serving. We use our time, our talents, and our resources for the kingdom. What does this look like? We show up. We do what's needed. You know, I mean, if we need something needs to be done, we show up and we do it. Whether that's at church or if it's somebody in our church family or the community needs something, we show up and do it. Whatever it is needed, we do it. And then, the next one, we use the talents God's given us for kingdom work. You know, we've got some talented people here that play instruments and can sing. We've got talented Sunday school teachers. We've got people that are very good at organized. Connie's a great cook and can organize all the picnics and stuff. You know, that she's using her talent for the kingdom. You know, and that's what the word worship is. If we're using our time and our talents for the kingdom, that's a way of worship. Another one is also our resources. You know, I'm not this sitting a lesson or a sermon on giving, but you know, we got a building. We got to pay light bill. We got to pay to get the air conditioner next week. We've got salaries to pay. We got insurance to pay. Ministry takes money. You know, and God gives us this resources for ministry. You know, it takes money to do all this stuff. And, you know, thankfully our church really is a very generous church. But when you're doing this, think of it as, hey, this is a way that we can worship. Anything that we do, anytime we use our talents, anytime we give, it's an act of worship. I just thought it's really interesting that word means all that. Number four, fellowship. Fellowship is just showing up, spending time with the church family. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Show up. Come to church. When we have church, you need to be here. If we have any other thing, you need to be here. There's a story I heard one time. This little boy was staying with his grandma on Saturday night. She got up. She's getting ready to go to church. And the little boy says, Mama, I don't want to go to church this morning. She says, son, at my house, Sunday morning, we go to church. And she said, well, Mama, she said, I'll just watch it one of them TV preachers. And it's okay. I'm glad we do that. We have YouTube, people that are sick, people that are homebound or whatever. It's a great tool. So anyway, this little boy keeps telling his mama he didn't want to go to church. He'd just watch a TV preacher. And she said, well, okay, son, I'm going to go to church. But when we get home and it gets time for lunch, you can watch a McDonald's commercial. So, you know, I mean, it's not the same. You know, show up for the fellowship. You don't need to be watching a McDonald's commercial when you can come and be there in line. Something else, church is family. I don't know if y'all realize that. Now, Ephesians 2:19 tells us when we become a Christian that we're a family then. It says, so then you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So that's telling us when we're Christians, we're part of a family. We're connected. We are family. And then another thing with fellowship, when we have fellowship with others encourages us to grow spiritually and gives us accountability. Hebrews 3:13 tells us, but exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And Galatians chapter 1 tells chapter 6, verse 1 tells us, brother, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you are spiritual, should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch over yourself, lest you be tempted. Fellowship encourages us to help other people grow spiritually and hold people accountable. And something else, when we have fellowship with each other in the church, it's actually a witness to the world. How we are to each other and how we treat each other is a witness to the world. John chapter 13, verse 35 tells us, but by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So the way we fellowship, the way we treat each other, the way we love each other, that's a witness to the world. I've known people that actually have come to church and gotten saved because they watched how people in the church treated each other. I've also invited people to church and tried to witness to them, and they say, well, the way the church treats each other, there ain't no way I'd go there. So it does make a difference how we love each other and how we treat each other. Number five, this is the last one, sharing our faith, evangelism. You know, sometimes we sit and think that we're not able to do this. And it's hard. I've heard people say, it's just hard to do this or whatever. Like, I can't share my faith. I can't witness or whatever. But we've got to remember something. We have been given the power to do this. We have the ability and the power because Acts chapter 1 tells us that we have the power to do this. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So the Holy Spirit's given us the power to share our faith. And something else we've got to remember, besides having the power, we've been commanded to do it. Matthew 28:18-20, which we've already read it, but I'm going to read it one more time. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always. Something else we need to remember. We are ambassadors for Christ. As Christians, we're His representatives. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21, or I'm just going to go verse 20 and 21. It says, therefore you are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on the behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For the sake He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. So these five things that we've talked about this morning, like I say, there's been hundreds of books written about them. And we could do a class, and we may end up doing that sometime, a class on each one of them. But these five things, I think, are important. For us to grow, we need to be doing this. We need to share the gospel. And when you think about it, sharing the gospel can be summed up pretty easily with just a few verses. Number one, grace. Heaven is a free gift. It can't be earned or deserved. We find that out in Romans 6:23. Romans 3:23 tells us man is a sinner and he can't save himself. 1 John 4 tells us that God loves us and is merciful and doesn't want to punish us. But Exodus 34:7 tells us God is just and He has to punish us. And then when we think about Christ, who is He? He's both God and man. And what did He do? He came to earth and He lived a perfect life. He died on a cross and He came up from the grave to pay the penalty for our sin and offer us life with Him in heaven. John 1:1-14 tells us that. And then what is not salvation? It's not a mere head knowledge or a temporary faith. You know, I believe that Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president of the United States. That has no effect on my life. It's a true historical fact. We can believe Jesus died on the cross. Historical fact. But the difference is when we trust in Him alone for eternal life. That's the difference. Not a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge, where we put our trust in Him. So this morning, I've shared with you what's been on my heart, and I hope that you've learned some stuff. I've had a little bit of a struggle this week. Satan really, I don't think, wanted me to talk about this because I had a dream one night that the dog ate all my notes, and I don't even have a dog. And then I was rebuking Satan. I said, well, that can't help it. I don't even have a dog. And then I dreamed that I'd brought my notes and set it down here, and one of these kids spilt something on them. And then it was like, well, if you were really supposed to teach this, you'd have it memorized. So today I have guarded my notes. So anyway, but I've had a burden for this, and I feel like this is what I wanted to speak with y'all about, the five pillars for growth. I don't think any of us want to stay the same place we are. I think all of us want to grow in Christ, and I know our church, we need it to grow. So this morning, everybody's got a choice to make. You may be here and not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If that is the case, don't leave here without talking to someone. Stacy, Jason, RJ, Jonathan, raise your hand. Right here is our deacons and our staff guy. If somebody that don't know Jesus as their Savior, find one of us, and we will help you, okay? So that's all. But if you are already a Christian, I hope you're challenged this morning. You know, the last time I spoke, Jason asked Silas what he learned that morning. And he said, Daddy, I need to do better. That's really what the name of this lesson should be. God is our Heavenly Father. And if I could go back, I'd change the title as Daddy, I need to do better. You know, as I prepared this about Bible study, prayer, worship, fellowship, and sharing my faith, I've come to the realization that me, Dale Shook, I need to do better in every single one of these areas. If you want to come, I'm going to sing a song. And like I say, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior today, find one of the guys that raised their hands. These five things: Bible study, prayer, worship, fellowship, and sharing our faith. If there's any one of them that we feel like we're lacking in, or if you're like me, lacking in all of them, let's take a minute or two to come down here and pray and say, God, help me to do better. If y'all want to stand.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the